From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
Well, as he has done since he took office, Donald Trump dominated the news cycle again this week. After talking about them a lot, he issued tariffs on numerous countries. The stock market didn't like it, and this follows on the heels of some high-profile elections that seem to indicate pushback against the Trump administration. We'll talk about that and more coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, Professor Emeritus and former Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week is Rick Pearson, Chief Political Reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Rick, it's always good to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
So, Rick, Trump has been making dramatic changes since he took office, firing federal workers, pulling back on protections for many people, going after his enemies, now tariffs. So I guess I was wondering, as I've watched a lot of this, Republicans in Congress, for the most part, have gone along with Donald Trump. Is this going to be a bridge too far? Is it too soon to say?
I think it's too soon to say. And I think that's, frankly, what Republicans are saying publicly is, let's see how this plays out. I think with everything that in some of this chaotic time of the first months of this Trump presidency, and that you throw the tariffs into this, is it's really for Republicans in Washington, it's going to come down to when do the constituents get hurt? Be it cuts in Medicaid, be it rising prices, be it inflation, recession. You know, when does the public of those, the constituents of those Republicans, when do they feel real pain? Because that's the only way that they're going to be able to get that message to those Republicans that maybe this is not the right path to follow.
And I would think not just constituents, but maybe even some of their bigger donors as well, people who may be in business who are looking at this and thinking, I'm not sure we're going to be able to sustain what we've had going on before. So, yeah, I mean, and I think Congress is, most of them are headed home for a little bit. They're going to get an earful, I'm thinking, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's provided that if they actually hold any town hall meetings, which, of course, they have basically leadership is in the House has told Republicans not to do town hall meetings. But I think you make a very good point about donors and industry, those kinds of things, because, you know, when you look at the totality of these tariffs, the uncertainty of how they affect supply chains, the impact on manufacturing, the idea that this is a way to bring jobs back to the United States and create new manufacturing opportunities. This isn't something that happens overnight. It takes a long time to build a plant and staff it and train people to work it. And what is going to be happening in the meantime, if indeed we do bring some manufacturing back to the United States? I mean, obviously, through NAFTA, a lot of uprooting of jobs, of industrial manufacturing to Mexico, other places. But is this really going to flip that in favor of the United States? What is the real price that people are going to pay for this?
Yeah, and Charlie, one of the problems that I see with this is when everybody starts adding reciprocal tariffs on, and you do these tariffs not just against China or one, you know, Mexico or one country or two countries, but you're doing it against so many that I could foresee a lot of them saying, hey, what's the point? We might as well just charge more for everything. I mean, I don't know that I'm seeing the logic with what Donald Trump is having to say. I'm all for bringing back these jobs. I, you know, grew up in an area that was hit hard by the loss of manufacturing and never really has rebounded from that. But this just doesn't seem like the right approach. In Illinois here, Charlie, we are, if I saw the numbers correctly now, the fourth largest exporting state. So this could really hit home here.
Yeah, and it would. I think the difficulty is Donald Trump is living in the world of the late 19th century, the Gilded Age, where we have these tariffs, and wouldn't it be great? We don't have to have an income tax as we raise all this revenue by tariffs on goods that are imported. And the fact of the matter is, the world as a whole has benefited since the end of World War II by the sort of the worldwide trade agreements. And in our case, for example, we import a lot of lumber from Canada. And the concern from the housing industry is if we have to pay more for the lumber, is that going to make it harder for people to get housing? Or we have automobiles, a lot of the manufacturing for automobiles is done in Mexico because basically the wages are cheaper in Mexico than they would be here in the US. And it struck me in reading some of this stuff, the tariffs were really done haphazardly in the sense that, for example, we're imposing a 10% reciprocal tariff on a couple of islands that are Australian territories and uninhabited. So who's going to pay for whatever we may import made by the penguins or the gulls? There's another one that was cited in one of the stories I saw talking about imposing tariffs on the trade deficit we have with Lesotho, which is a country in Africa. The US imports $237 million in diamonds and other goods from this little nation and landlocked nation in Africa, and we're going to impose a tariff on them because they're too poor to buy anything from us. So we're going to put a tariff on them of 50%, where the average citizen earns less than $5 a day. And apparently the way they calculated these rates, the penalty was calculated by dividing the US trade deficit with a given country by how much the US imports from it, and then doing a rough adjustment. And so there's not much thought behind it. And as Rick was suggesting, you also, the uncertainty is what's problematic. If you're a businessman and you're thinking about expanding or adding new product lines, you want some certainty that this isn't going to change a month from now or 2 months from now. And it takes time to do this stuff. From what I've read, if, for example, we decide, well, we're going to bring back all the auto manufacturing to the US, it would take years for those plants to be built and be up and operating. As a matter of fact, Mike Pence on his X account really roasted the president, and he saying that the Trump tariff tax is the largest peacetime tax hike in US history. They'll cost American families more than $3,500 per year. All the business-related groups in Illinois came out and were critical of these, saying that, this really isn't good for us. This isn't going to help us flourish, and this is going to increase costs for us because the tariffs, unlike the notion that apparently some people have, that, well, the tariff means that country that makes this stuff is going to pay more to sell it to us. No, what it is that the importers, US firms that bring this stuff into the country, have to pay that tax. And then odds are very strong that they will pass it on to the customer. So it's basically it's a tax on the American public that is being disguised as some kind of punishment to make up for what Trump sees as all these years that we've been taken advantage of.
Yeah, one of those business leaders, Mark Dinsler, Illinois Manufacturers Association president, I saw he issued a statement, and in it he said manufacturers urged the president and Congress to focus on comprehensive growth practices, including tax relief, regulatory reform, and building a skilled workforce. And Rick, that sounds like your traditional Republican. I think that's what maybe a lot of people were voting for, thinking that's what we're going to get.
Oh, there's no doubt that given the kind of laissez-faire attitude the public had towards Bidenomics, they were looking at Trump as definitely pro-business and get the economy roaring back, get the markets roaring completely. Well, they're roaring downward now. And so yeah, you have Mark Densler's comments. You've got the Illinois Farm Bureau. You've got Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. Really a lot of what you would kind of say almost establishment, Republican interest groups are just totally against this. And we talk about manufacturing and how Trump talks about this as a way to bring manufacturing back. When we talk about unhappiness among constituencies, it's going to be at the grocery store. And that was one of Trump's selling points, was that I'm going to bring prices down at the grocery store. Wait till these tariffs kick in on a lot of imported fruit, vegetable, and other products. That price inflation that we went through at the grocery store already, that's only going to become multiplied by this.
Rick, we've talked on the show, and I know where Charlie's at on this when other people have weighed in as well, but I get your thoughts on it in the sense that we're in the state of Illinois. We're getting into budget season. We're trying to put a state budget together for by the end of May to take effect in July. Got to be difficult with this type of stuff going on. I mean, I think things have changed just in the last week. How do you prepare for the next year?
That was kind of the uncertainty that I think after the election that I think certainly the governor's people were aware of, is that and when you throw Elon Musk into the picture with these claims of efficiencies, I mean, as far as the reality is, it's mainly been the loss of federal money, federal cuts. And the question is, in getting rid of agencies, does that mean there still will be money flowing? We've seen the federal spigot being cut off in a variety of support areas, money that was the state was allowed to spend that was left over in pandemic relief funding, that's being clawed back. Yeah, it's very much kind of a crapshoot on trying to put together a budget, and there's no way, if there's prospective cuts in Medicaid and health benefits for the poor, the state can't make that up. And that makes for some very, very difficult choices, particularly for a governor who might be looking at having national aspirations, being forced to cut to the bone and cut out services for a big block of what is traditionally Democratic constituency.
You're listening to State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield, along with Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune and Charlie Wheeler. Charlie, elections took place this week, not so much here in Illinois, the ones that were getting the most attention across the country. Those were happening in Florida, some special elections in Republican districts. Democrats closed the gap a bit there, did better. They didn't win, but they did win a big race in Wisconsin, a Supreme Court race. And that was one that Elon Musk had pumped some money into. He'd even gone to the state, held a big rally right before Election Day. This was a state that Donald Trump won just a few months ago. Should we read too much into that?
Yeah, I think what happened in Wisconsin was interesting in that Elon Musk kicked in $3 million to the campaign of the Republican candidate or the who was running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Brad Schimmel. Other groups that Musk founded poured in another $18 million, and Musk also gave $1 million apiece to three voters who signed a petition that he circulated against activist judges. And so all that money didn't make a whole lot of difference in terms of the Democratic-backed candidate for the Supreme Court, Susan Crawford, who is a county judge in Dane County, which I believe is where Madison is located, won pretty handily. And I think the takeaway is that the race turned more on Musk and his involvement, which the Democrats made a big point of. It shows that, at least in Wisconsin, voters weren't really happy about having this guy parachute in, a guy who many people seeing as trying to destroy the federal government and dropping all this money to try and buy an election for his favored judge. In my mind, it suggests that the appetite for what Trump is trying to do maybe is kind of souring for people in the Midwest. Now, I'm thinking Rick would have a better take on it, what happened in Illinois, because I think it was last Sunday, Rick, when you had that column talking about the suburbs.
Yeah, I mean, I think really what you saw in Wisconsin, what you saw in the local elections, municipal elections on Tuesday, were a reflection of voter unease, concern, dissatisfaction with the early Trump-Musk presidency. And I mean, in talking to one Republican, he said Elon Musk, you know, polls worse than anything that you can see. And of course, there's already talk in D.C. circles that Team Trump realizes that Musk is not exactly viewed as a valuable political ally out on the stump, and maybe moves to kind of disassociate with Musk and Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, quote unquote. That's starting to happen. But in the suburban elections, which, you know, and we, Charlie, you and I remember how, you know, the suburbs were kind of the bastion of Republicanism back in the days when you had socially moderate, fiscally conservative Republicans.
Yeah.
Before the era of the Tea Party and before the Trump era, those suburbs for Republicans, it was a complete wipeout. Traditional Republican areas like Eastern DuPage County, the Addison Township, which was the home of Henry Hyde and Pate Phillip, Addison Township, York Township, Elmhurst, Lee Daniels. Those were still rock rib Republican pockets in a vastly shifting DuPage County. Those township elections, they all went Democrat. And this was widespread throughout DuPage County, Wheaton, Milton Township. I mean, the Wheaton, which used to be so hardcore conservative, now it's Milton Township is all Democrat. And it really was to the point where, in talking to one Republican, they said it didn't really matter if the candidate was qualified or not. If they had a D after their name, they got voted in. And that may be the other shoe to watch here, is now with all of these new people in these offices who've never had much governmental experience, you know, how efficiently can they run township government? And, you know, townships are always under fire and targets for elimination for duplication of services. Let's see what happens there.
I think, Rick, you mentioned this in your story, is the fact that the Democrats stress voting early, voting by mail, and the Republicans are falling behind on that. And so there were several races when on election night, the Republican looked like he or she had won. And then as the mail-in ballots get counted, suddenly the Democrat wins.
Yes, there's no doubt that the Republicans, and of course, Trump is partly to blame for that, because he's contended mail-in ballots are suspect for fraud, even though there's no evidence of that, that Democrats now with the ability to get permanent mail-in voter registration, that Democrats have taken a great advantage of doing that. And I mean, the chairman of the DuPage County Republicans said that the wipeout on Tuesday, he's afraid will continue repeatedly until Republicans are able to close the gap with Democrats when it comes into the mail-in voting. And of course, we should also say one of Trump's executive orders is exactly aimed at trying to curb mail-in voting.
Let's take a couple of minutes here before time gets away from us. Charlie, Governor Pritzker just returned from a trip to Mexico, a trade trip. He signed a trade agreement while he was down there. Interesting that he did that on the same week that Donald Trump announces all these tariffs. So quite a juxtaposition there. But this certainly doesn't, I guess, hurt Pritzker if he's trying to make himself the anti-Trump candidate, possibly, in a run for president here in 3 years from now.
Yeah, and I guess the highlight of the trip was that we signed an addendum to the existing Illinois-Mexico sister state memorandum of understanding that is intended to deepen the economic cooperation between Illinois and Mexico. And this memorandum emphasizes the strong ties that we have with them. And the governor said, and I believe this was in a news conference by phone from Mexico, he said that, and this is his quote, well, he said that the folks they talked to in Mexico were worried about tariffs and that they were a deep concern for the Mexican companies. And Pritzker said that the delegation couldn't allay those concerns. And then, quote, what we could do is remind them that in Illinois, we are a stable and reliable trade partner, and that when things settle down, that it will do well for them to do business with our companies in Illinois, some of whom are represented in our delegation. The object, I believe, was to remind our compatriots in Mexico that Illinois is a reliable place to do business, and that we offer incentives for them to bring their companies here. We will welcome their products. And in terms of projecting his image, he's been quite involved, the governor has, in economic development travels. Last year, he went on a trade mission to Japan, for example. And he's had a 4-day mission trip to Canada in June of last year. He was in Great Britain in 2023, and in January 23, he went to Davos, Switzerland, to speak at the World Economic Forum. So the mission both promoted Illinois and also, I believe, enhanced the governor's resume as someone who was involved in more than just state issues.
And Rick, you expect that's going to continue? I'm thinking that I could see him doing more of these foreign trips to try to, you know, get himself more on the national and also world stage.
I could see that. Of course, you know, we're still waiting here too about what is his political future. I can see that, but you know, as he did point out, there isn't much that on the state level you can do about tariffs that create, you know, disincentives for business location and that kind of thing. It's a good platform, and normally it was kind of verboten that if you go to another country, you don't speak bad about your own country. That was kind of a rule of thumb in the old days. But I saw this as kind of one more step in trying to, you know, accumulate some of those things that might be looked at as having valuable experience on a larger national stage.
And as we talk politics, just a few seconds here left here, Rick. So real quick, we've been talking the past week about Senator Dick Durbin. What could his future be? We don't know yet. Don't know if he's going to run for another term or not. Kwame Raoul has already taken himself out of the Senate discussions as he doesn't want to do that. But your thoughts on where that could be headed?
You know, I really don't know. And, you know, a lot of people look at Durbin's age and note that he voted with Chuck Schumer on the budget deal, which got some of the progressives upset, although largely more at Schumer than at Durbin. But, having talked to the senator a couple of weeks ago at a protest rally, standing up for science against cuts at in National Institutes of Health and whatever out at Federal Plaza in Chicago, and that was in a rain and snow mix, and he didn't have a hat on. And I said, "Do you still have the fire?" He goes, "I just stood in the snow and rain because I believe in this stuff." I mean, I'm not convinced that he's necessarily going to retire. And I think in many respects, he's the only one who knows, and he certainly enjoys the fight.
Time now for our notes from the field. Charlie, we'll go to you first.
All righty. Well, the Illinois Flash Index for March increased slightly to 102.4, and that's above the February reading of 102.2. U of I Professor Emeritus Fred Geertz reported this week. And of course, any reading above 100 denotes growth. And the professor said this increase comes amid economic uncertainty bordering on turmoil. On the eve of the imposition of new tariffs, the optimism generated by reduced regulation seems to be offset by concerns about the impact of the new duties. And the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability came out with its report, so that for the first three quarters of FY25, the base revenues have risen approximately $872 million. And the net increase in personal income tax is about $1.5 billion. Corporate income tax net is roughly down $400 million. Sales tax receipts are slightly up. So the bottom line is that the state is on a pretty good pace to achieve what the budget was predicated on, although the final note in the report from COGFA says the largest month for tax collections is upcoming in April. History has shown that can significantly alter the end of year revenue outlook, both good and bad. So things are looking good at the moment, but we got to wait and see. And of course, the report from COGFA doesn't reflect what kind of impact tariffs might have.
All right. And Rick.
Yeah, I just wanted to drop a note here that a good friend of mine, a great colleague of mine, a predecessor in my position at the Tribune, Tom Hardy, passed away just a few days ago after a brief illness. And Tom went from his time at the Tribune. He was a suburban editor. He was the Tribune's political writer. In 1997, he left the Tribune and became chief spokesman for Governor Jim Edgar, and went from Edgar's time to become the basically, I guess, vice president of communications at the University of Illinois. The story I like to tell about Tom is when Edgar hired him. At that point, everybody was still wondering if Jim Edgar was going to run for a third term or not. And Hardy joined Edgar's administration kind of late in the second term. So we all took this as a sign that, he must have gotten some kind of assurance that he had some job protection for a while. Well, as we all know, Jim Edgar opted not to run for a third term. But Tom was just a very terrific guy, well respected as a reporter, well respected as an editor, and well respected as a spokesman both for Governor Edgar and the University of Illinois.
Sad news indeed. That's all the time we have for this edition of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capitol by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.